I greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's for me a great honor to be among you. It's the first time to see the bride of Jesus Christ here in Philippines. I've been by the grace of God with Brother Frank in many countries, and mostly in French-speaking countries, where I was as his translator, and I could see the work of God through this ministry, how God is continuing on what he has begun with our beloved brother Branham. As you might know, all of you, that the message has to reach the ends of the world. And God used a man in our generation, and this man is still performing, carrying out this commission that he received from God with an audible voice. So we are honored today that we shall listen to the word of God without interpretation, because the bride has to be a pure bride, as was the bridegroom. So the coming of our Lord is very near. This is why we have to pay attention, to take heed to what the Spirit has to say to the churches today. May God bless this city, this beautiful country, and also all the believers. We trust that you are also preparing to what God will be doing soon, and you take part to what God is doing now. May God bless you all. I don't have much to say, but the Lord will speak to our heart this afternoon. God bless you richly. And now is the time for our brother Frank to preach the word.
I greet you all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. May God bless this day with the blessings that we take with us to eternity. May this be the day the Lord has made for all of us to hear the word of God, to believe the word of God, to obey the word of God, and to prepare for the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And today we have also Brother Miro from Slovakia. And Brother Miro, just come say a few words. Yes. Just come. This is a man of God. He speaks Slovak and Russian and English and many languages. So just say a few words.
I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And as Brother Tati already said, it's a great honor for us to be here.
Yes.
It's a time of God's visitation for Manila.
Yes.
Word of God is being fulfilled everywhere. And I am personal witness, as Brother Tati is, also in many countries, that God is fulfilling his word.
Yes.
And I think it's the most important thing right now to know what God is doing.
Yes.
And I believe you are all witnesses as well, even today, that God is fulfilling his word.
Amen.
Yes.
Because the original gospel is now being preached in all the countries across all the world.
Yes.
Even the meeting in Bangkok we had with Brother Frank day before yesterday has been broadcasted in all the world, and many have been listening, and as it is every month from the meeting with the meetings in Krefeld.
Yes.
So we are very thankful, our Lord, for all this, because we know Brother Frank is preaching in commission, as the scripture says, for the preparation of the bride, for the five wise virgins. We are very thankful for the ministry. I am personally very thankful to be a witness. I have said that I have listened to the sermons of Brother Frank from 70s, from 80s, from 90s, read the circular letters, and I'm so grateful to our Lord that he kept his servant until this age. Amen. And kept him in his word. Amen. Through all these years, I haven't found any deviation from the word of God in any of the preachings. Yes. So our thankfulness goes to the Lord Almighty that he has fulfilled his ministry, his promise through this ministry. May the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be praised. And may he bless our beloved brother today and all of us as we are gathered here. May God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. We also have Brother Dorfer here from Austria. He will just stand up. Just stand up. God bless you. Yes. And we do welcome especially all ministering brethren, all who serve the Lord, all who preach the word of God. And now the time has come that we shall share many scriptures with you. And as my age has been forward moving, I will ask Brother Tati to read the scriptural verses, and you all have your Bibles with you. We do believe that the Word of God remains forever. No interpretation, no explanation, just the pure and holy Word of God. And for this purpose, I would love for us to read three scriptures. And then Brother Tati will also read the three statements Brother Branham made concerning the message of the hour, which was given to him, and we all believe that the return of Christ is absolutely very near. Amen. We're not only in the end time, we're at the end of the end time. And as our Lord has said in Matthew 24, in Luke chapter 21, in Mark 13, when you see all these things come to pass, then look up, for your redemption is drawing near. Amen. And also in Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations, and then the end will be. So by the grace of God, we have shared the everlasting Word of God, the true gospel, the full gospel of Jesus Christ with all the nations. I look back to the many years since 1965, when God took his prophet home. It was my time to start fulfilling the commission the Lord gave me on April the 2nd, 1962, and the prophet confirmed on December the 3rd, 1962. And now we shall stand and read three scriptures and the three statements. We start reading with 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Yes.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2.
Yes.
I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching.
And also from 2 Peter chapter 1, from verse 19.
And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation.
And Revelation chapter 22 from verse 18.
For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book.
Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ to speak to our hearts as never before, in a direct way, by your holy word. And may all ministering brethren respect the word of God. Amen. And only preach and teach the word of God. Amen. Dear Lord, we commit this service to you and ask you to be with us. Amen. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. Amen. And reveal yourself unto us. Confirm your word.
Amen.
Save the lost.
Amen.
Heal the sick.
Amen.
And give divine revelation.
Amen.
To all of your children.
Amen.
So we commit this service to you, our Lord and Savior, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Remain standing. Our brother will read the three statements of the 31 statements Brother Branham made about the message. We have chosen three statements. You give the date.
So the first one is from 10th February 1960 in Puerto Rico. The sermon is testimony. Brother Branham says, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, the message that is given you will be a forerunning of the second coming of Christ. Not I will be a forerunner, but the message was the forerunning. And the second one is 14 July 1963, the sermon, Why Cry, Speak. As I sent John the Baptist to forerun the first coming of Christ, your message shall forerun the second coming of the second coming to all the world. The third is 29 December 1963, the sermon, Look Away to Jesus. I may not do it, but this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. For as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, so is the message to forerun the second coming. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. See, so it paralleled in every way, and I know it will. The message will go on. The 4th, 19 February 1965, this day this scripture is fulfilled. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, your message shall forerun his second coming into all the world. This day this scripture is fulfilled. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Let us sing, only believe, only believe. Who can start singing? Yes, only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible, only believe, only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. Amen, amen. You may be seated. We've done this on purpose to let you know that what we believe is in the Word of God, no interpretation, as we read in 2 Peter chapter 1. We have the more sure word of prophecy, and that we should know that no scriptural prophecy is of any private interpretation. No one on earth has a right to interpret any scripture. And as we read in Revelation chapter 22, whosoever shall add to the words of the prophecy of this book, to him the plagues will be added. And whosoever taketh away his part will be taken away from the tree of life. Beloved, it's very serious, absolutely serious. And I want you to know this, that God's word is infallible and God's word remains forever. And as the Apostle Paul was addressing his co-worker, Timothy, preach the word. In season, out of season, preach the word, because the time would come when they would not endure sound doctrines, but heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I hope today that we don't have itching ears. I trust that we came with a direct and deep longing to hear the true word of Almighty God. And for you to know, I'm an eyewitness, I'm an ear witness of what God has done through the ministry of Brother Branham. I knew Brother Branham for exactly 10 years. I was in his meetings in Germany, in his meetings in the USA, in his home. I drove with him in the same car. I talked to him by telephone. I still have 21 letters from the correspondence. So I knew William Branham. And by the grace of God, before I came to know Brother Branham, I knew my Lord and Savior. Since 1948, I'm in the kingdom of God. I dedicated my life to the Lord in 1948. In 1949, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And there was one desire in my heart to share the word of God, to preach the gospel. And since 1952, I'm preaching the gospel, sharing the word of God. And then, of course, when the Lord called me with an audible voice on April the 2nd, 1962, just before sunrise, it was a Monday morning, and commissioning, saying these words, "My servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to preach my word." And because the voice came from up but from the right like this, I was on the carpet with one blow. From the impact of the direct voice of the Lord, I heard with these ears. And then came the most wonderful day, because in that what the Lord said was also, "There will come a famine, and I should stand amidst the people to give out the food, to first store in the food." And as I live in Germany, in 1961, many crises. The wall was built in Berlin. Russian tanks here, American tanks here. We didn't know what will happen next. And we stored in natural food. And no famine came, no tragedy came. So I said, "Lord, I cannot preach anymore. You said there will come a famine, and the famine has not come." So I called Brother Branham, and he said, "Please come." So we had a time together. And imagine for one moment, he repeated word for word, "The Lord had spoken to me in Germany," and then said, "You misunderstood. You thought there would be a natural famine, and you stored in natural food. But God will send a famine, as it is written in Amos 8:11. God will send a famine to hear his words, and the food you have to put in store is the promised word of God for this day, and it's kept on the tapes." And beloved, from all these years, from the 50s and from the 60s, every sermon Brother Branham preached was sent to me in Germany. So I grew with the message under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and by the grace of God, because of the divine commission, the Lord did not only watch over his word, he watched over me. Not one time did I give an interpretation. Not one time did I say anything except what the scripture says. I never believed any of these thunder doctrines or any of the many things like return ministry or the Lord has already come, or Revelation 10 is already fulfilled. Never, never did I believe any of these interpretations. And forever, I shall not believe any interpretation, even if an angel would come from heaven and stand before me. If he gives an interpretation, I would tell him to go back from where he came. It's just in me. It's a part of me, and I'm a part of the Word of God. And for your information, when I heard Brother Branham say that this picture hangs in Washington with a supernatural light, Brother Frank made the trip to Washington, and I searched all morning. And about 11:15, I found the place. I saw this picture in Washington, D.C. I wanted to be an eyewitness of the supernatural things God has done and Brother Branham has referred to. The same is with this picture of February the 28th, 1962. Beloved, I'm an eyewitness. I was there on the Sunset Mountain. I saw the trees were cut, as Brother Branham said. There was such a storm, such an earthquake, and seven mighty thunders shook the whole earth, and the stones were rolling down the mountains. These eyes have seen the stones which have rolled down the mountains. These eyes have seen the trees which are chopped like this, cut like this, like this, like this. So by the grace of God, I can say, like John the Apostle, or like Peter the Apostle, what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard from the word of life that we share with you. So in the same way, God has given grace to share his holy word, even from the USA. I brought with me the documents, Science Magazine, where the article about the supernatural cloud is written in this magazine. Also, the other magazines I got in my office. So by the grace of God, with full conviction, I can say and testify of what God has done in our time. And as our brother Tati has read the four statements, and Brother Branham said, not that I would forerun, but the message would forerun the second coming of Christ. And beloved, I have no reason to tell you a story. I don't come from Texas, because many storytellers come from Texas. I come from Germany. I'm an honest person. And in the service of the Lord, I would never say anything unless it's the truth. But you know, my birthday is on December the 24th. And William Branham passed away on December the 24th, 1965. And beloved, as the Bible is open before me, I saw William Branham being taken up on a cloud. If you look at the cloud, he was on this side. And in this vision, I said, Brother Branham, you're not the Son of Man. Why do I see you on this cloud? It was the very moment the Lord has taken him from time to glory. European time, it was 10:45 in the evening. So by the grace of God, the Lord foreknew all things and has informed me so that I had part in what God was doing during Brother Branham's time and also the moment he was taken to glory. And if you go to the Old Testament, the prophet Elijah could say, if you will see me going up, I didn't ask for these things. God looks after everything pertaining to his kingdom. I never asked him to speak to me, but it's the grace of Almighty God. And now we look back to so many years, right after the funeral of the prophet in April 1966. From that time, I've taken the message to the ends of the earth. In 165 countries, I preached personally. And now we are serving directly 172 countries. And the rest is being served by those who live in those countries. So practically, all 193 countries on earth hear the message of the hour. They are informed of what God has done in our time, and are now being informed what God is presently doing according to his word. So we do believe that the second coming of Christ is very, very near. No one knows the day or the hour, but we understand by the grace of God. This is the last call. This is the last message. There will be no other call, no other message, no other prophet to come. Only one prophet was prophesied, and that was William Branham. And here we also have to understand how wonderfully God has placed Bible prophecy. Like, for instance, in Malachi 3, verse 1, we have two promises. The first promise, I will send my messenger before my face to prepare my way before me. But the second promise, and the angel of the covenant will come to his holy temple. That's the second promise. The first promise was fulfilled when John the Baptist had his ministry. And if you go to the Old and the New Testament, and then from the Old to the New, you read in Luke chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, about the ministry of John the Baptist, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. But in Malachi 4, you've got two promises, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Amen. Two promises. Amen. One promise was fulfilled at the time of John the Baptist. You can read it in Luke chapter 1. To turn the hearts of the Old Testament fathers, because God, through the prophets, had spoken to all the Old Testament believers. And then John the Baptist came, and according to Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were unto John. And from that time, the kingdom of God was being preached. So the two prophecies, the first part of Malachi 3, verse 1, was fulfilled. And also from Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, the first part was fulfilled. And here you see the divine wisdom. In Matthew 17, The glory of God came down. The three disciples were with our Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah appeared. And what did the disciples ask? Matthew 17, verse 10. Why do the scribes say that Elijah must first come? What was the answer? I love the answer. In verse 11, truly Elijah shall first come and restore. The word restore is a key word in that promise. In that promise, the key word is restore. What does it mean? If this building would collapse, so an earthquake shake, if it's restored, it has the same measurements, everything the same as it was before. So by the grace of God, Brother Branham was used to restore us back to the original foundation laid by the apostles and prophets, where he said, no other foundation can be laid except the one which is laid already. So by the grace of God, all the doctrines, everything was restored to the church of the living God. All the ministries, everything. It's the word restore. If you go to the promise about John the Baptist, the word prepare. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, prepare. Malachi 3, prepare. You go to Matthew, prepare. But the last promise, restore. Elijah truly will first come and restore all things. So everything from Genesis to Revelation, the original sin, the plan of salvation, all the teachings, everything was restored. And we are brought back to the original foundation and the original teachings of the Holy Word of God. So by the grace of God, we understand this is calling out time, preparation time. Ye, my people, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Revelation chapter 18. It's calling out time. From all denominations, from all religions, from all races, like the Lord said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, in thee all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So we understand that this is God's final time for all the nations to hear the last message and to be fully restored to the original foundation, like it was in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. After the 70 years of captivity, they came back to Jerusalem. They found the old foundation, and the second temple was built on the same foundation where the first one was, and the third one will also be on the same foundation. So the ministry and the message William Branham brought was absolutely necessary, and it was in the Word of God, in the will of God, to let us know God's plan of salvation and to bring us back to the original ways and teachings and everything as it was in the beginning. So, beloved, whether it's a subject of the Godhead, we believe in one God, not in three eternal persons, in one God. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. The word triune God is not in the Bible. The term God the Son is not in the Bible. We have to be honest. God used Brother Branham to take us back to the original teachings. So we understand in the Old Testament, nobody spoke about God the Father, but about the Lord God, Elohim Yahweh, throughout the Old Testament. But then the promises throughout the Old Testament about the coming of the Redeemer, that the Son will be born, a virgin will conceive and bear a son. And the same Lord of the Old Testament is the same Lord of the New Testament. Yahweh of the Old Testament is Yahshua of the New Testament, which means Yahweh Savior. So by the grace of God, we have come to the understanding through divine revelation that God manifested himself, and in the Son of God, we were redeemed. We were placed back as sons and daughters of God into our original position, that we can pray, Our Father who art in heaven. But before you can pray, Our Father who art in heaven, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must first receive the seed of the Word of God. We don't believe in charismatic experiences. We believe in the true experiences. For every birth, you need a seed. A seed. And if you read in James, if you read in Peter, we are born again by the seed of the Word of God. Just like our Lord and Savior was the Word manifested in flesh. So we receive the Word of God as a seed. And the Holy Spirit comes upon us to bring that Word to life in our soul. Amen. And then we receive eternal life. And those who believe in redemption, we know the blood of the Lamb of God was shed on the cross of Calvary. And as our Lord said in Matthew 26, from verse 26 to 28, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant. So by the grace of God, those who are redeemed by the blood, life is in the blood. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, the life is in the blood. So in the blood of the Savior was the eternal life. And when the Savior shed his blood, he gave his life. And if you are redeemed by the blood, the same life that was in the Son of God is in you. And you have received eternal life by the grace of God. So back to the experiences our brothers and sisters had right at the very beginning. The same goes with baptism. All the world is still in tradition, in traditions. But by the grace of God, we understand by divine revelation what our Lord said. Go into all the world, teach all nations, and then baptizing them into the name, not mentioning the name. But Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. The sins are remitted by the blood, but you confirm the remission of sins you have received when you are baptized. You died with Christ, and you're buried with Christ, as it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 3, buried with Christ in baptism, and then you rise with Christ. So, beloved, we must have all these salvation experiences. We cannot only say we believe the message. That is not enough. If you go to Matthew chapter 25, it's the last message in Matthew chapter 25. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And there were 10 virgins at first, and then, of course, half of them were ready, and half of them knocked at the door when it was closed. Beloved, let me say this straight before God Almighty. I don't travel all over the earth to speak to the foolish virgins. I travel all over the world to speak to the wise virgins who recognize the day, the time, the message, and what God is presently doing. Many know what God has done during Brother Branham's time. But, beloved, we don't look backwards. We look forward. And from that time, as we read in the statements, William Branham visited altogether in his lifetime 15 countries, 15. William Branham preached in exactly 12 countries, 12. And after the opening of the seals, he did not preach in any other country anymore. And when he made his trip to South Africa, there was a stamp in his passport, cannot participate in religious meetings, because many thousands upon thousands came together, and it was during the time of apartheid that they had a problem in the country. But what do I say now? William Branham was used for the opening of the seven seals. And this is so very important also for all ministers to know. On December the 3rd, I was together with Brother Branham, and he, the greatest man of God since the days of Jesus Christ, asked Brother Frank to speak for him in Los Angeles and to speak for him in Oakland, California, telling me about the vision he had in March 1962 when he saw the supernatural cloud coming down and the seven angels in that cloud. And he was told the moment when they will widen his road. It was a very, very small lane. Only one car could drive. A very small lane. And the angel of the Lord said, the moment that they will widen the street, when the fence is taken off and put on your lawn, that is the time that you have to go to Arizona. These eyes, on December the 3rd, 1962, have seen the bulldozers on the road, have seen the fence laying on the lawn. These eyes. And Brother Branham said, I must move with my family to Arizona. And he moved on the 25th of December. Beloved, I have told you before, by the grace of God, I know all the details, how the Lord led and what the Lord has done in the life and ministry of his prophet. And again, because when he was there on the Sunset Mountain about 42 kilometers from Tucson in the direction to Mexico. I was there. I drove there by car. I was there. And when it happened, it was so mighty because of the seven thunders. It was the greatest experience Brother Branham had in his lifetime. The greatest experience when the supernatural cloud came down and the seven thunders had shaken the whole earth. And that's why he said there's rapturing faith in the seven thunders in reference to the opening of the seven seals. Because the seventh angel in that pyramid, if you go from left to right, they were facing Brother Branham. So this angel was talking to Brother Branham, return to Jeffersonville for the opening of the seven seals. So by the grace of God, because of these mighty seven thunders, Brother Branham referred to the seven thunders many, many times, but his thoughts went back to that special, extraordinary experience when he was commissioned to return to Jeffersonville for the opening of the seven seals. So, beloved, by the grace of God, we look back to what God has done, but also to what God is doing in our time. If you would know that millions, millions hear the message of the hour, the whole earth is included. And as Brother Branham said, not that I, but the message would forerun the second coming of Christ to the ends of the earth. God has taken his prophet, but the message, the true promised word of God was given to us, and we've taken it to the ends of the earth. And for those brothers who claim that Brother Branham will return, I'm asking you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, where is the promise for that in the Bible? True faith only anchors into the promises of God. If you don't have a promise, you have religious imagination. You have religious imagination. First, God makes promises. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, from verse 20 to 22, all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ through us. All the promises. And according to Galatians chapter 4, verse 28, we are, as Isaac was, children of promise. First, God makes promises. And when the time comes, he fulfills what he promised. So by the grace of God, if you wish to be in the rapture, please take it seriously. God will never put his seal on any interpretation. And according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, we must be sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Not only say, I believe the message, God must put his seal upon you. And God will never put his seal on interpretations. God will put his seal on the elect who believe the word of God only. And as it says seven times in Revelation 2 and 3, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And the Spirit takes the word. The Spirit takes the word. And the same Holy Spirit that inspired all the prophets, all the apostles, all the Old and the New Testament, the same anointing of the same Holy Spirit rests upon us. And we see what they saw. We understand how they understood by the Holy Spirit. That's why it is written, they that are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the true sons of God. So the time has come not to believe anything except the Word of God. And as we said, the Lord made the promise to send the prophet. He kept his promise, has sent the prophet, and the prophet has brought us back to God, back to the Word. And beloved, let me say this also in love. If you don't feel led by the Holy Spirit to be brought back to God, we're not brought back to a prophet. A prophet is sent to bring us back to God, to bring us back to God. And if you, as minister, go anywhere and say, well, the prophet said. No. You have to go back to the Word of God and take what the prophet said into the Word of God. And then you have the right revelation and right understanding. Like, for instance, Brother Branham would say, Enoch was the seventh from Noah. But Enoch was the seventh from Adam, not from Noah. How many times did Brother Branham say something? He even said, God created the world in 6,000 years. Another time he said, God created the world in 7,000 years. I cannot go and say, God created the world in 6,000 years. No. He just wanted to show that time has moved on and there are 6,000 years from Adam until now. Just making a point, not a new doctrine, just making a point to let us know that the time is fulfilled. There were 4,000 years in the Old Testament, 2,000 years in the New Testament, so 6,000 years are complete. So Brother Branham was just comparing, not making a new doctrine or a teaching. So by the grace of God, even if he says, I will ride this trail once more. Wonderful. Wonderful. And he did so. Yes. He was so discouraged. And then he was used again by the grace of God. But if somebody picks that statement and says, the prophet will come again, he will have the tent ministry, he will be here 30 to 40 days. Forget it. Forget it. In Romans chapter 9, verse 28, we read that the Lord himself will complete his work. Amen. Not a prophet, not an apostle. The Lord himself who finished the creation work, the Lord himself will finish the work of redemption with the redeemed in a total restoration by the power of Almighty God. So, beloved, as we have said before, even in this place, a true man of God must connect the people to God. And I said to some of the brothers who came to visit us in the mission center, I said, please, never say from the pulpit, this is what Brother Frank said. I don't want anybody to say that because I have got nothing to say. It's the Word of God. Amen. That we believe, the Word of God. Amen. And if you only say, the prophet said, it's not enough. The prophet said, when he dedicated his daughter Rebecca to the Lord, he was a papa in his heart. And he said, thou, my daughter, you will be a prophetess. That's what Brother Branham said when he dedicated his daughter Rebecca. thou, my daughter, will be a prophetess. But she lived and she died and she was no prophetess. No, she was no prophetess. And when he dedicated Joseph, he said, my son Joseph, thou wilt be a prophet of the Most High, comma, that is my prayer. The people don't read what is going on. He didn't say, thus says the Lord. He said, that is my prayer. So we must go back precisely to what the prophet said and not just take statements half here and half there. So by the grace of God, the time has come, beloved, even in reference to Revelation chapter 10. Beloved, how can somebody say Revelation 10 is already fulfilled? Brother Branham was not the seventh trumpet angel. He was a seventh church age messenger. But in Revelation 10, already in Revelation 8, we read about the first four trumpet angels. In Revelation 9, we read about the two others, altogether four, and two is six. And then in 10 comes the promise when the seventh trumpet angel will blow, then the mystery of God will be finished. I charge every brother to go back to what William Branham said. Every time he spoke about Revelation 10, 7, he used the word in the plural, mysteries, mysteries, mysteries. Over 80 times, over 80 times, he used the word mysteries. But Revelation 10, 7 does not speak about mysteries. It speaks about one mystery, about the mystery of God. And Jesus Christ is the mystery of God revealed. But because William Branham was a seventh church age messenger through whom all the mysteries were revealed, that's why he had to say it, and I'm glad he said it. But we see and place him precisely where he should be. And for you to know how it is written, I will ask Brother Tati to come, and may all the word here, may all the word here, Revelation chapter 8. You take your Bibles. Don't interpret, just take your Bibles. In Revelation chapter 8, in the first verse, you read the first verse.
Revelation chapter 8, verse 1.
Yes.
When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour.
Amen. So that was it. It was such a moment. The sixth seal had already been opened, and now the seventh seal. And you know, that was the ending of time. Everything would come to a conclusion. So all heaven was quiet by the surprise. But only from verse 2 we are told what is contained in the seventh seal. So now you read.
And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets.
Okay, seven angels in heaven, in the presence of God, before the throne. Not seven church age messengers on earth, but seven angels in heaven before the throne. And then?
Then another angel, having a golden censer,
yes,
came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it, yes, with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar,
yes,
which was before the throne.
Yes. And now you just read in Revelation chapter 8, verse 7 and 8.
Okay. Verse 8.
Yes.
And verse 7 first. The yes. first angel sounded.
Yes.
And hell and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up.
So when the first trumpet angel will sound, a third of all the nature will be no more. The judgments, one judgment after the other, in all the trumpet of judgment, 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 and always a third, a third. And then in chapter 8, verse 10 and 11.
Verse 8, then the second angel sounded. Yes. Verse 9, and the third of the living creature in the sea died, and third of the ships were destroyed.
Yes, yes.
Verse 11.
Yes.
Verse 12, then the fourth angel sounded.
Yes.
And chapter 9, verse 1, then the fifth angel sounded.
Yes.
And the sixth angel sound, verse 13, then the sixth angel sounded.
Yes, yes, yes. And then?
And then chapter 10.
Yes.
It say, verse 7.
Yes.
But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God will be finished as he declared to his servants, the prophets.
Yes. So we understand precisely that these things are going to happen after the rapture. All the judgments will happen after the rapture. And then, of course, we read on in chapter 11.
Chapter 11,
verse 15. Yes.
Then the seventh angel sounded,
uh-huh.
and there were loud voices in heaven,
yes.
saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
So when the seventh trumpet angel will sound, our Lord will commence his kingdom as king, the kingdom will be. How could I go into all these details? And beloved, if you read carefully, Revelation chapter 10, when the angel of the covenant with the open book in his hand. Why open book? Because it's after the opening of the seven seals. And the angel, as we said before in Malachi chapter 1, and the angel shall come to his holy temple. And we read in Revelation 11, verse 15, that the Lord will commence his kingdom reign. But what happens before? What happens before? He comes down, puts one foot on land and one on sea, and swears by him that lives forever and ever, the time shall be no more. Amen. And our brother will come and read to you from Daniel chapter 12, verse 7, to know precisely that there will be 3.5 years from the moment of the swearing in Revelation 10 until the end. You read it.
Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river. Yes. When he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that he shall be for a time, times, and a half a time, and when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished.
Yes. So everything is written in the Word of God. We are precisely informed what will happen and how long things will be and take. So by the grace of God, beloved, let me say this again. Please, if you wish to be in the rapture, don't receive any interpretation. And let me tell you this in love. Every wrong teaching has brought division, division, division. And people follow the man who brought the so-called revelation. Even that seven great men will come and raise their voices. It's all a lie. It's all imagination. Just forget it. Amen. Come back to the word of God and be sanctified in the truth. Thy word is the truth. We have to say these things. The time is so near of the return of Christ. You see it with the people of Israel, that the time is very near. And our Lord spoke about the fig tree. And since 1948, we have the state of Israel. And Brother Branham said, if you wish to know the time of the day, look at your watch. If you wish to know the day of the week, look into your calendar. But if you wish to know how time has progressed, look to Israel. Amen. And Brother Branham says, the same time the Lord brought Israel back is the time that he began his mighty ministry, knowing the time for the Gentiles to call God's people out from all nations, and also the time for Israel, so that all be called from all the different nations. Beloved brothers and sisters, we just need to summarize what we try to say here today. And I repeat, at the return of Christ, a pure, holy bride will be taken to glory. No spot, no wrinkle, no accusation, nothing at all. Washed in the blood of the Lamb, sanctified in the word of truth, sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of our redemption. And I repeat, please don't believe any of these interpretations. How many teach the Lord has left the mercy seat? What Brother Branham said in the sixth seal is after the rapture. So they don't understand why he said what he said, instead of placing it correctly, because at that time the Lord has left the mercy seat. But it's in the sixth seal when Brother Branham made the statement. So it's a tragedy with all the brothers who take Brother Branham's statement out of context. You must take what he said before and must take what he said after, even in the rapture tape. When you listen to the rapture tape, how wonderfully he goes to Matthew 25 and says, this is lamp trimming time. This is preparation time to be ready for the Lord when he returns. So, beloved, it's not enough to take a statement out of context. But as I say, read what he said before, read what he said after, and then go back to the word of God and make the word of God finally say what it says. So, as we read in Revelation 22, whoever will add, there will be no exception, no apology. Whoever is adding, he will not be in the rapture. Impossible, impossible. who is taken away, he will not be in the rapture. Impossible. And all these brothers have just done nothing else but saying the prophet said, hiding behind the prophet and serving God's people with their own interpretations. They're just pretending to believe the prophet, but in reality, they don't believe him. They have their own teachings, their own understanding. I don't want to go into all the different teachings and doctrines that are not in the Word of God, but you are aware of the fact that time has come. And I believe I'm here for the last time, not only because of my age, soon I will be 86, but beloved, my time has come. I've done what the Lord has called me to do. So I'm just visiting here and there. But up till now, every month I was traveling, always 2 weeks in the mission center and 2 weeks on a trip to various countries. So as we said also before, now all the earth can join us by internet, and our services are being translated into 15 different languages directly, and all the earth can hear the true word, the true message. The true believers will now receive the true word of God and the true divine revelation and line up with the word of God and don't go for any of those different teachings which, as I said before, people follow a man. This man brings this teaching, they follow him. This man brings this teaching, they follow him. I tell you, if you don't follow Jesus Christ, you are wrong and you will be disappointed. And let me say that also again in Matthew 25. At first, there were 10 virgins, but then half of those who believed the end time message, at first, half of them were ready. They stayed in the Word of God, in the will of God, respected every word of God. And as we also said in Revelation 2 and 3, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And the Spirit says what the Word says, because the Spirit inspired every word of God. And then the promise is given to the overcomers. Whosoever will overcome will inherit all things. You must overcome all your private and personal things which hinder you to follow Christ. You must overcome everything that's against the Word of God. You must come out victorious by the grace of God, because we believe that the Lord who purchased us, who shed his blood for us, we are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And we're sanctified by the Word of God, and we're being prepared for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody knows the time, nobody knows the hour, but we know when the Lord returns, the dead in Christ will rise first. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And you must read from verse 13. You must read from verse 13, not just from verse 15, from verse 13, that God brings those who died in Christ with him, and then the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive shall be changed, and together we shall be taken up and meet the Lord in the air and be with him forever and ever. Those who claim that the Lord has come down in 1963 and the marriage is taking place now and the marriage supper will take place when the Lord takes us to glory, forget it, forget it. When the Lord comes, we go. As long as I'm here, he has not yet come. Because when he comes, we go. We go. He will not be a day, as the Holy Scripture says, the coming of the Lord will be like the twinkling of an eye. It will be like the lightning shines from the east to the west. Of course, people will say, Christ is here, Christ is there. But don't believe it. Don't believe it. Because when he comes, we shall be changed, and together we shall be with him in glory. Amen. And as all the promises became a reality, when the Lord was here the first time, every promise in God's word was fulfilled. And now every promise is being fulfilled. And we are a privileged people, a chosen generation, chosen in Christ, before the foundation of the earth, to have part in what God is doing now. And as I also said before, beloved brothers and sisters, this is the last call. This is the last message. Believe with all your heart. Amen. Obey and stay in the Word of God. Always check it with the Word of God. And as we read about Revelation chapter 10, all these things will take place when the Lord will come and put his foot on land and say, at that time, beloved, the second part of Malachi 1 will be fulfilled, and the angel of the Lord will come to his holy temple. Before you read Revelation 11, verse 15, please start with Revelation 11 from verse 1. Because at that time, the ministry of the two prophets takes place and the temple is rebuilt. And therefore, it says, measure the temple of God. Don't measure the outer court, but measure the temple. And the Lord will come to his holy temple as it is promised. Everything will be in the right time, in the right place, according to the word of God. Beloved, it's my direct responsibility before God Almighty to share with you only the true and holy word of God. And I don't say this to speak of myself, but did you, and I'm asking this in the presence of Almighty God, did you hear of any brother who presents different teachings that he can testify of a day when he received a divine commission, when he was called directly by the Lord to the ministry? Did you hear up to this day that there's a single brother on the face of the earth who has come up with a testimony saying, it was such and such a day, such and such a time, and the Lord gave me such and such a commission? There's no one on the face of the earth, and by the grace of God, because of the divine commission. And beloved brothers and sisters, I say this in the presence of Almighty God. The supernatural experiences the Lord has granted to me, it was not me deciding. It was the Lord. And I told you before how the Lord addressed me as my servant, my servant, my servant, 17 times, 17 times in all the years, the Lord himself addressed me as my servant and gave instructions of what I should do. Even you remember in 1976 when the meetings in India were planned, and what I came back with a ticket from the office, and I just had come into the small office there, and as you hear my voice, my servant cancel your trip to India. I had the ticket in my hands, and the voice of the Lord about 10 in the morning. Was a Wednesday. And what did I do? I went to pray. I wept. I said, "Dear Lord, the meetings are arranged. Is it not possible for me to go? They will all be disappointed." I prayed like this. Can you imagine? And when I came back into the office, just a little after 11, the second time, but more strong, "My servant, cancel your trip to India." And you can tip it into your email. You can tip it. In October 1976, 96 people died. The flight from Bombay to Madras took fire just after taking off, and 96 people died in the flames, and my name was on the passengers list. But the Lord himself said, "My servant canceled your trip to India." So by the grace of God, I have obeyed, have done what the Lord has told me to do, and I shared the word of God. But for you, beloved, I wish that all ministering brothers or whoever you are, leave your address, that we can send you a little information about what God is doing. We want you to be up to date in the kingdom of God. And as we said before, our brother Miro is mainly responsible for it, that all the earth, in 172 countries, all the believers join us by different channels, by internet, to hear the true word of God and be brought up to date in the kingdom of God. So I've done my part, and I beg you to stay in Christ, in the Word, and as we read from 2 Peter, no Bible prophecy is of any private interpretation, not Revelation 10, not Amos 3, verse 7, not Luke 17:30. No Bible prophecy is of any private interpretation. God watches over his word, and when the time comes, he fulfills. So don't accept any interpretation. Accept the word of God and remain in the word of God. Be sanctified in the truth and sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of our bodily redemption. And also this, I close, also this, that our Lord rose bodily. He appeared to the disciples bodily, and they saw him going to heaven in Luke 24, 50 and 51. Our Lord took the disciples up to Bethany, raised his hands and blessed them, and from there he was taken to glory. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, the same Jesus that was taken from you into glory will come in the same way, bodily, as you've seen him going up into heaven. And according to 2 John, you know, the first five chapters in John, but then the 2 John, verse 7, that anyone that teaches not that Jesus Christ will return bodily is an antichrist, is an antichrist. You read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 2, anyone that denies that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh, that was when Christ was born. But in 2 John, verse 7, it speaks about the return. Anybody that say he has come spiritually and he is now here, and he, forget it. Believe only the word of God. Believe that the same Jesus that was taken to glory will come bodily in the same way, and our bodies shall be changed, and we shall see him as he is and be with him forever and ever. How many wish to be in the rapture? Amen. Then let us stand. Then let us stand. We are in the presence of Almighty God. Beloved brothers and sisters, I'm getting old. I feel my body, but the Word of God is a living Word, and the Word shall never return void, but it shall accomplish what it was sent for. And I claim every soul that is present and every soul that hears the Word of God to be part of the bride of Jesus Christ, to be called out, to be prepared, to be ready for the return of Christ. That is why the message was sent, to forerun the second coming of Christ. No message will come. The message is already here. No other call will be given. This is the last call, and this is your day, the day the Lord has made for you. Receive it. And if you believe every word of God, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Once again, amen.
Amen.
How many wish to rededicate their life to the Lord? Let's raise our hands. Everybody, we just raise our hands. Dear Lord, we are in your presence, and we know you are here. As you promised, where your people are gathered, there you will be. Dear Lord, I pray that nobody, no preacher who is here today will preach anything except the Word of God.
Amen.
According to 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the Word.
Amen.
If in time or out of time, preach the Word.
Amen.
Beloved brothers, according to Matthew chapter 24, when I heard the Lord in Edmonton on the 19th of September 1976, my servant, I ordained you, according to Matthew 24, verse 45 to 47,
Amen,
to give out the food in due season. This is true as every word of God,
Amen,
that's written in the Bible.
Amen.
So by the grace of God, William Branham said before he spoke about the seals that the food was to be put in store. And in the seventh seal, Brother Branham, on March the 24th, 1963, made the statement, "Dear Lord, now the food is put in store." Amen. And this man of God said, "Brother Frank, wait with the giving out of the food until you get the rest of the food." And the Lord himself said, "My servant, I ordained you according to Matthew 24, verse 45 to 47. Beloved brothers and sisters, I knew Matthew 24 just about wars and rumors of wars. I never preached on that Bible passage 45 to 47. I didn't even know that it's written like this in the Word of God. But can you imagine the Lord himself on that Sunday morning, September 19th, the sun was already shining into the room. And I was reaching over to take my Bible to read. And then the voice of the Lord, "My servant." Can you imagine what it means for me, the Lord of glory, speaking with an audible, all-penetrating voice and giving the direct command to share the food that was stored in with God's people all over the earth. I've done it, and now it's your time to receive nothing else except the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Receive every word of God and be blessed with the blessings of Almighty God. And if I don't see you again on earth, I'm looking forward to see you in glory. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Just say, praise be to God. Praise be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 God has visited his people. And now we say, you may be seated, and God be with you all. I don't know who is going to say something. Thank you for coming. And as I said, if you wish, you can leave your address. If you wish, you can join us. Our brother Miro knows how to do it by internet. Thank you for coming. How many ministers do we have here today? Stand up. How many ministers? Look at this, look at this, look at this. I will just have a few words with you after the service. You may be seated. God bless you. Yes, amen. Yes, amen.
Sorry, brother. Brothers and sisters, should you need some more literatures or the DVDs, we can collect your addresses. You can come after the meeting and write in a capital letter. Then we shall be giving you all you need for the preparation of the bride or for your churches. Okay? God bless you.